So Psalm 107, starting at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way, till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things.
Thank you. Yeah, good afternoon. So welcome to the lunchtime talks and all that's get here. And my name is Sam, as introduced, and it's a privilege to be sharing with you today. I am a volunteer pastor at King's Church, Catford, the fun side of London. So it's good to be here. Today we're going to be beginning our short series on Psalm 107, and we'll be looking at God's redemption for the wanderer. God's redemption for the wanderer. So I was going to begin with a question. If you had to rescue someone, how would you do it? What would be your strategy if you wanted to rescue someone? Let's say you're a primary school teacher. I don't know if there are any teachers here, but you've got one of those students that just wouldn't sit down, but you wanted them to get to listen to you. You wanted them to get to sit down when you tell them to sit down. How will you negotiate that? So usually what will happen is the teacher would get the students to do something that they like, kind of get them to that point of negotiation, and then maybe the student will see the teacher as a fun teacher, and then they will get to listen to the teacher. Now, the teacher wouldn't depend on the student to just listen to them. She wouldn't just risk going all out there. There has to be a process and a strategy to get the student to the place where they think it's fun to listen to the teacher. And in Psalm 107, the psalmist draws us to what God's redemption looks like, God's strategy kind of redemption, of saving people. It's quite different from what we would think a strategy for saving people is. The psalm begins in verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And this is the pattern of Thanksgiving Psalms. Thanksgiving Psalms are psalms that invite people to thank God for something he has done or for who he is. And we see that pattern here. Verse 1 invites you to thank the Lord for his goodness and his love. This is God's nature. God is good and God is love. This is who he is. So what has he done in the psalm? He has redeemed people from trouble. See verse 2-3. He says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." So the Lord's deeds to be thankful for is his redemption towards all kinds of people. Verse 3 says, "People scattered across the lands, east, west, north, and south." And as we go through the series, we'll see how God's redemption redeems different kinds of people, how it reaches different kinds of people. But today we'll look at his redemption for the wanderer. He redeems the wanderer first from soul fainting distress. And that's what wandering is, an endless pursuit which leads to soul fainting distress. Do you see the endless pursuit in verse 4? It says, "Some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in." So it's like they are stuck in this place called desert, but they are seeking something else. They are seeking a city to dwell in. They are seeking a place of comfort, solace, satisfaction, but they are not finding it. So it's like a mirage. You think there is water in the middle of the road, but the closer you drive towards it, you find it's nothing. Mirage always seems real and appealing, but it's not there. So growing up as kids, we grew up in southern Nigeria, and we would often go to countryside, Nigeria towards the village, to see our grannies. And when we would travel, down the road, and it would be like this very sunny road like you have outside now. So outside kind of feels like West Africa today. So you travel and you get the sun, and the sun casts against the tar road, and you get the shepherds with their sheep, because you're traveling across the countryside. You get the shepherds with their sheep, like, just walking along the way. And we would be playing the game while we're traveling down the road. We'll be playing the game Spot the Mirage with my siblings. And we'll be like, oh yeah, that's it. It's ahead of the road. It's there. And we'll keep playing that game. And then it's fun. It's a fun game all of a sudden, but it's only fun until we get to see a sheep lying by the side of the road. And then we'll ask my mom, what's happening? Why is the sheep lying on the side of the road? And she goes, well, they also play Spot the Mirage, but the difference is they don't know that it's a mirage. So they rush towards it, thinking this is water, and they rush down the road, and they get knocked by an oncoming vehicle. And that's what the mirage is. And that's what that's the picture the psalm is painting here. It's like saying, can you see the mirage for what it truly is? It's a death trap. Say, soul fainting distress. Verse 5 says, their soul fainted within them. And some of us might be in that place of wondering and searching for meaning or satisfaction. We may be seeking it in desert places, in things that don't satisfy. Maybe a better job, or a better house, or a better partner. And nothing wrong with those things in themselves. However, the happiness that they provide is short-lived. And that's the point the psalm is bringing here. So sometimes these things can be wrong as well. They can be wrong things. They can be things that give us instant gratification, but long-term guilt. So you see that what the world offers is either short-lived happiness or instant gratification, but long-term guilt. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And the psalmist is saying, can you spot the mirage? Can you see it for what it truly is? A death trap in your journey of life. A soul fainting distress. But there's a good news. The good news here is that however we wander to the north, south, east, west, God can redeem us. God can redeem you. And he desires to. See verse 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So it's kind of like that teacher trying to negotiate this strategy to get this kid to sit down. And usually the teacher wants to get the kid to, come on, level with me. Level with me. But it's like God is saying, no, you don't have to level with me. You just have to cry to me. And he will identify. And this is a different kind of picture the psalmist paints here. They cried out to the Lord. It doesn't say they cried out, then he sent someone else to deliver them. God didn't expect them to level with him, to sort themselves out a little bit. When they cried out in their trouble, verse 6 says, God delivered them. Delivered them from their distress. So right in the middle of the soul fainting distress of our wandering for satisfaction or wandering in sin, if we cry out to the Lord, God's promise is that he will deliver us. But you're not just redeemed from stuff and then left to fend for yourself. You're redeemed from the bad stuff and also into the good stuff. First from the soul fainting distress and then into a satisfying dwelling, which is the picture the psalmist shows us in verse 7 to 9. So when God delivers the wanderer, he also leads them into a satisfying place. See verse 7 to 9. He led them by a straight way till they reached to a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. He led them to a dwelling, verse 7 says, and verse 8 says that dwelling was satisfying. So the blessing here is not just an end of wandering. It's not just an end of an episode of disaster. It's the beginning of something good. It's a journey in something good. And what are they satisfied with? With God's love and goodness. Every good thing that comes from God. Did you notice how the psalmist points back to the nature of God as what brings satisfaction? So look at verse 8. It says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Do you see his love there? And then verse 9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Do you see his goodness there? So he points back to his love and his goodness, the very nature of God, as what brings that satisfaction. So to the wanderer who is stuck in soul-fainting distress, when they cry out to God, God redeems them from that soul-fainting distress into a satisfying dwelling, which is found in the very nature of God. It's like a baby. When a baby cries out, right, to their mom, she picks them up, she brings them into her bosom, and the tender love she shows to them, and the goodness, the milk, which quenches their thirst, is from the very nature of the mom. So that's the picture the psalmist is showing us here. God's redemption for the wanderer is a satisfaction that comes from the nature of God himself, and nothing else, nowhere else. It begins with God, it continues with God, and it's only found in God. Nothing else would satisfy the wandering soul except the nature of God. And when we go down through scriptures, we see that Jesus is the only one who reveals this very nature of God. John says in John 1:18, he says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, Jesus, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He's the one who has made him known. So according to John, Jesus is the one who reveals the very nature of God. And then Jesus says of himself in John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. Shepherd. And then he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now imagine that picture again of traveling down the road. Now imagine that we're traveling down the road and this sheep runs into the way, thinking this mirage is a water that's going to satisfy, and the oncoming vehicle comes with full force, and imagine the shepherd just steps in front of the sheep, and instead of the car to hit the sheep, the shepherd faces the punishment of the sheep's wandering heart. And that's what Jesus did, and that's the picture the psalmist wants us to see here. The shepherd gets knocked over by the vehicle so that the sheep will receive life, so that the sheep may live. And that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus revealed God's very good and loving nature by laying down his life for his wandering sheep, taking the punishment of sin that we deserve. death so that we can have a satisfying life. He's the only one that satisfies and nothing else. The only one that satisfies and no one else. The philosophies of this world, the fleeting happiness, the pleasures of sin, they don't satisfy. Like that mirage, they are all a death trap in our journey. They are all a death trap in our journey. It's like a disaster waiting to happen. They don't satisfy. One of my favorite things to do in my free time is to read Psychology Today. And usually when you go through like a counseling session, and you notice that you never just go to one counseling session. It's always series of counseling sessions, especially non-Christian counseling. It's always repetitive counseling sessions. So they will give you a solution, but then it doesn't work, then they will propose another solution, and then it doesn't work, and then they will propose another solution. And that's the point. The point is, at the heart of every problem is a solution that we cannot provide. That's a fact. At the heart of every problem, at the heart of every human problem, is a solution that we cannot provide. And that solution is found in the gospel, it's found in Jesus. In John 10:10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says of himself, 'I have come that the wanderer might have life and have it abundantly.'" And that word abundantly means to the full, to the fullest, till you're satisfied. Or as verse 9 puts it, he fills with good things. And that's what Jesus does. A kind of life, he offers a kind of life that truly satisfies. My friend's dad was ill during COVID, and because his dad had some frequent health problem, a health condition, so anytime his dad falls ill, he gets really scared. My friend gets really scared. And my friend wasn't a believer at the time, but he noticed that his dad was so relaxed about it. His dad was a Christian, was a believer, and his dad was just calm about it. And his dad, who was ill, was the one saying to him, "How are you doing?" And he thought that was weird, that his dad wouldn't panic about his health condition. And his dad said to him, "Because God loves me, my health doesn't change anything. That's why I'm not worried." See, my friend said that he didn't get what his dad meant until he put his faith in Jesus. And in my friend's words, he says, "Now I get it." He said to me, "Sam, now I get it." Because the satisfaction we have in Jesus is not the absence of material needs. It's despite material needs. It's deeper than material needs. It's an eternal satisfaction. It's one that's always there in the presence of positive outcomes or in the presence of negative outcomes. He satisfies your soul. Jesus says in John 14:27, he says, "My peace I give to you, not as this world gives." In other words, in this world you would have peace. In other words, like Psychology Today, in this world there would be solutions that would offer peace. There would be things you can do that would offer some kind of solace. In this world, you find them. But Jesus says, the one I give to you is not like the one you find in this world. You will find something in this world, but mine is different. He means that by saying mine is truly satisfying. Mine is eternal. He's the only one who satisfies the deepest longings of our soul. So the psalm invites us to respond in two ways. For the redeemed, those who have found true satisfaction in Christ, who have put their faith in Jesus, the psalmist says, thank him. Thank him for saving you. Because what you have is truly remarkably deep. What you have is indescribable. What you have is not subject to the realm of this world. What you have goes beyond the realm of this world. That should blow your mind into thanksgiving. Like my friend's dad, he knew that what he had was beyond this world. What he had was not subject to the terms and conditions of COVID. What he had was deep. So someone who has experienced something good shares their joy. So why not consider sharing your joy with someone? That gift that you've received, that satisfaction. So the psalmist invites the response of the redeemed, but he also invites a response for the wanderer. Perhaps his listeners who have not yet become the redeemed, who are still seeking for satisfaction in the desert place. And for the wanderer, those stuck in the soul fainting distress, the psalm says, cry out to God. Cry out to God. You know, that word cry out to God is very interesting word, because he didn't say whisper, he didn't say speak to God, because you can speak to someone and you can have a nonverbal speech to someone, communication. Yeah. Like, you know, growing up, we would have our parents using their eyes to speak to us when our visitors came around and were misbehaving. They just need to look at you twice and you would know what they meant by that. Yeah. Maybe some parents in the room are smiling. So you know what they meant by that when they looked at you twice. But when you cry out, it means that you're reaching out for something, and what you're reaching out to, you're expecting that thing to hear your voice, your cry. Cry out is always a heard communication. Like, it's a very heard expression when you cry out. So the point here is to reach out to God, come to Jesus so that he will satisfy your soul. It's like neglecting the fact that you can provide a solution yourself, but reaching out to the one who provides the eternal satisfaction. So as we come to a close, I want us to take a moment of reflection, and we're going to pray shortly, but as we bow our heads, let's reflect. And if you would like to know the satisfaction offered by Jesus today, whether it's as a first-time commitment or a recommitment, would you consider whispering this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite you into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Now I'll pray. Father, I thank you that you would love us so much to send your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, a people undeserving. Father, we ask that would you help us by your Spirit to always remember how much we are loved. And may this knowledge always lead us to thanksgiving. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.